The sweetest song I ever heard was the words of Jesus. The Bible speaks of the songs of Solomon, how beautiful they are. You know, there's one thing that we need to do, and that's walk in the light as he is in the light. The Bible said in so doing we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shall cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. When John the Baptist's father prophesied the Spirit of God being upon him, it said, and we shall serve him in holiness and in righteousness all the days of our life. Now this book is so wonderful to me and so alive to me, until when I come to the sacred stand, I don't ever know where to start, because it is so full of the wonderful words of God. And the Bible said that the Word of God is the power of God. The Word of God is the power of God. Anytime you have the Word of God, you have the power of God. And he sent his Word and healed them. By his Word he cast out the unclean spirit. And the Bible teaches that with his Word he created you and I. With his Word he has created the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein. The Word of God is the power of God. And so then, when you get into the revelation, you start detailing it. It takes a long time just to break down just a little bit of the Word of God. I see people read a whole chapter, and they can tell you all about it in about 10 minutes. I read a whole chapter, and sometimes it takes me 10 years to get all of it. It is so powerful and so rich and so dimensionally deep till it's ever yielding like a fountain that never runs dry. And it is so wonderful, the wonderful words of life. Jesus said on one occasion, in that the 70 left him, he turned to the 12 and said, will ye also go? And they said, where shall we go? Ye alone have the words of eternal life. And so it's so beautiful and so wonderful. Paul, in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for ye Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depths and heights, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, as I've said so many times, we come here with a regularity. And when we come here, we never know what we're going to preach. It's just been my way of life to not to prepare sermons. And I just come, I don't know where I'm going to read from. I don't know what I'm going to say. And I open my Bible, and he always takes me to where he wants me to go and tells me what he wants me to know. I don't advise you to do that. Everybody has their own ministry and their way of doing things. And if you have notes and you do whatever, that's okay with me. I have no objection. But as I said years ago, I would try to prepare in my real early life as to a sermon. And I would study all day long, and I would do all the things I know to do. And then I would pick out a place I was going to read. And so I would go behind the sacred desk, and then I would read it. And then when I would read it, I'd preach from something altogether different. And it just got so baffling to me, so I just told God one day, I said, well, you know what you want to say, and since you know what you want to say, you know what you want to read. So from now on, I'll just read whatever you give me. And I found so many multiplied times that I've come up here and start talking to somebody about something, not knowing what I was going to turn to, and as I turned the pages, I turned right to it, and there it would be, the Spirit and the Word agreeing. And I found out that with me, it may not be so with you, but as it was with the prophets, the word of the Lord came unto them. And I found out that the word of the Lord comes unto me. And when it comes unto me, then I just open my mouth and he says what he wants to say. Now, there is a problem sometimes, and that is if the people aren't conditioned as in their hearts as to listening or hearing. He that hungers and he that thirsts shall be filled if they are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But if there is no hunger and if there is no thirst, then of course the Lord, he doesn't speak. Maybe a preacher will preach a little bit, holler a little bit, shout at you a little bit, you know, and reprove you. But so far as the Spirit really speaking to bring you the deep mysteries of Christ, you don't get those things. It's like last night we was talking there by the gate, maybe 10, 15, 20 men, which has been our life down through the years, that wherever we go, within a few minutes, whether it's here, overseas, or wherever, if we start talking, then people start congregating, and they start listening, and they get hungry, and they get thirsty. And then, as it was last night, the Spirit of God just continually speaks. And a lot of times I come into the church, and this happens, but as many times I come into the church, it doesn't happen, because as to feeding on the side, different ones get filled up. Those that are hungry, they follow and walk after the Spirit, and they search out to find out where something is being said and the voice of the Lord's coming for them. So they get filled up. When they get filled up, then they come to the church. The others aren't hungry. And because these are filled up, then they're not hungry. And then there's nobody to hunger and thirst. And so the anointing doesn't get to speak as to bring the milk to the babes in Christ. Or there isn't anybody pulling and drawing to bring, to create the right atmosphere so the Spirit of God can come out to you. And that makes it very difficult. And my wife, she has at times got real fussy at me about it. And she'd say, you need to quit it. You need to quit it. You talk to the brethren, and then when we get to church, we don't get anything. And for a while, I did quit. I stopped off for quite a little while, and it worked just exactly like she said. They got hungry, and when they come to the church, well, we had good services. And we still have good services, but, you know, I've been blessed. I hope you don't mind me talking with you just for a minute. I've been blessed. And this book is a living book to me. It is alive to me. The Bible speaks of the Jews having had the word of God, but not being mixed with faith. It wasn't a living word. It was just a dead letter. As to the judgments of God is the letter that killeth, as to the law. And this is the Spirit that maketh alive. It was not mixed with faith. Therefore, it was not a living word. But we have life, the Spirit that maketh alive, even the word of Spirit, which is Spirit and life. And in this book, I have spent a lot of time reading and praying. And as I said, I've read that New Testament through on my knees just because I was so hungry. And in this book, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, I have been fortunate because God has completely, without any reservation as to me, opened the book. He has opened the book. You know, I come up here and I open the book. And I said, the book is open. But that's not so at all. The book isn't open at all. It is when the book is open as to spirit and life to you, then the book is open. Like when Philip went over to the eunuch and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I have no man to teach me? But see, we have someone to teach us. You have not need that man should teach you, for you have the Holy Ghost, even the Spirit of Christ within you, who will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have taught you. That is to say, is that whatever you are taught through the ministry or whatever you learn is through the Word of God, the Spirit of Christ will come into your heart and He will enlarge upon that. And He will magnify Himself to you as a spirit of life, as a spirit of life, as a word of life and quickening. And these, see, I'm looking at something here I saw a few minutes ago. These things I look at, there is so much that my heart is literally overflowing day and night. And when I come up here, I think, well, what am I going to say, Lord? I think I have so little time. You know, if I've got an hour, I have enough time to about get the attention of the people and say a few little old things and that's it. And I think, my God, how will they ever get the Word of God as to the revelation of the Son of God? How can they ever do it? And this is the difference as it's coming into the church and sitting and talking to the brethren outside. Sometimes we sit down to talk outside and the brethren literally sit there for hours and they hardly flinch. And the hours just go by so quick and we come to church and we don't have but just maybe an hour or two, and then we have to divide it up with the singing and divide it up with the talking. I come here and I talk like this beforehand, because it takes this kind of thing to be able to collect your intellectual reasoning to bring it to a oneness. Whereas the Bible speaks of that on the day of Pentecost, they were all in a one mind, one accord, to the mind of Christ as the accord to do the will of God. And then the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, or as it was as in the days when John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And the Bible says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then came the wonderful words of God. So we come here, we sing, we praise God that we might get into the Spirit, that we might create the right kind of atmosphere out there, and that we might collect the minds, that it might be given over to the mind of Christ. And then if the minister is in the mind of Christ, when it is joined together, then God begins to speak and they're all taught of God. For it's not the man speaking, but God speaking from within him. All right, let all the world keep silent. You are the temples of God, and God is in his temple, and God is speaking to all the world. So if we want the things of God, then we have to give ourselves to God, whereas the Bible said, in the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things of God. And pray for the Spirit of revelation. I read this because it says here, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And hear how he speaks of how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, for God, who is the Spirit, of course, was manifested in the flesh as to his Son, Jesus Christ, in the fullness, without measure. God manifested in the flesh, justified by faith. He was seen of angels, caught up into heaven, preached unto the Gentiles. This great, wonderful mystery, great is the mystery of godliness. And we try to bring a little milk, like a mother preparing a meal, give you just a little bit of milk as to the babes. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then we try to bring a little bit of meat. And that the Bible said that there might be meat in my house. And we try to make known unto you the cunning devices of Satan. In that the Bible speaks of this as to the cunning devices of Satan. Paul said we're not ignorant of the devices of Lucifer. And we try to tell you how cunning and crafty he is. And how that all day long he wrestles against your mind. There is a mind, a satanic mind, which is a spirit of power, of sovereignty, that wrestles against your human sovereignty as to the mind. And that is to say, the mind of necessity that is adopted to this world, that gives you right to the natural things of this world. And there is a battle that when you're born again, Christ, the mind of Christ living on the inside of you, is warring against the mind of Satan, which is working through your human senses as to the five senses that's subjected to the vanities of this world. And that Satan is in the world and God is in you. And the Bible said, great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And these two powers working, trying to get control of your spirit so that they can use your brain, because I say so often there's three minds, three powers, three lives, that is, and there's only one brain, and all three are wrestling for control of that brain. Whereas you, as an angelic being called the inner man, as the spirit on the inside, you have full right to the brain. It is given to you. And that it is as to a necessitated way of life, as to eat, drink, wash your face, do the natural things, drive your car, build your house. These things that pertain unto your livelihood as to being necessitated to life to be sustained. And then the other mind, as I say, being the mind of Lucifer, is a dirty, filthy mind, even as a filthy dreamer. And its corruption, its passions, its lewdness, its ugliness, its gossip, its backbiting, its hatred, its murder, and all these other things. And then there is the other mind that is holy and godly and pure, and that meditates in the laws of God. It's sweet, it's gentle, kind, compassionate, heavenly desires. That is the mind of God. See, and these two minds of the extreme as to these great powers is trying to get control of your spirit, which is just a simple spirit as to mind of necessitated things as to life and substance. See, and they want to work through your spirit to get control of your body, because either one of these have no way, to get to the tangible side of life as to this which has emanated from God, as to enjoy it, except through you. And the body was made principally for God, and things were made for God. All things were made for him and by him, and for his glory and pleasure were they made, and without him nothing was made that is made. And so then these two powers wrestling, trying to get control of the body, then the dispute is over the body. Like Jude speaks of it in the time of Moses, the Bible speaks of Satan coming after the body, and the angel of the Lord said, Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, as they came for the body of Moses. And as I've said so many times, they search out in the valley of Moab where Moses was buried. They've never found him. And I asked the Lord one day, and I said, where is Moses? They found Abraham's grave, Sarah's grave. Where is Moses? And the Lord said, you'll find him on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a dispute over his body, and death could not claim his body. And sure enough, there it is. It's like Elijah being translated. There's Moses. So I said that to say this, the dispute is over the body, and we brought out a number of things concerning that. That dispute is over the body, and that dispute is as to Lucifer disputing with God over the body, for he wants to get control of it. He wanted to get control of Moses' body because God had made Moses God unto the people, and that Moses was made God unto the people. If Satan could have got into that body, he could have been a great, powerful preeminence. And looking forward as to the body of the Lord Jesus, he really tried to subdue the body of the Lord Jesus, because that would have made him God of heaven and of earth. Whereas in Moses, it would just been God of the earth. But God of heaven and of the earth. And he wasn't successful. Even as Adam, he wasn't successful as getting into Adam as to the Shekinah image as to which Adam was illuminated with, because Adam was not in the transgression. And the woman being in the transgression, she was to be subject to the man, or that is to say, the woman being a type of the flesh was to be subject to the spirit. And in this, we see that there is a continual warfare between these two minds. And we try to tell you about the devices of Lucifer so that you can escape the condemnation, because you will find yourself, if you're honest with Brother Pike and honest with God and honest with your fellow man, you know, and don't try to be pious and religious, you'll find yourself completely deranged in your mind as to a condemnation day and night. And who would that be, Brother Pike? That would be everybody. And God looked down from heaven after the flood and saw that their man's heart was continually evil. Continually. He couldn't find anything good in any of them. And the Bible said, seeing that none was good, no, not one, then he came down, he took it upon himself to work the works of salvation, that we might have righteousness, and that Jesus Christ might be our righteousness. And so then the devilish evils of corruptions are continually oppressing your mind and trying to trample the mind of humanity down. Always trying to trample down the mind of humanity with condemnations, with threats, with accusation. He is the accuser of the brethren. But when you listen to the ministry, if he is a true minister, he will tell you the way of escape, and he will bring you to a wonderful way of life as to a freedom and as to a clean, holy state of mind, as to charity that thinketh no evil. And he can show you how to defeat that, to where you'll be a Victorian, even having the faith that overcometh the world, as to your victory. And then he will bring you to a place of indoctrination, to where your believing will eliminate and eradicate all of this accusation, to where your faith will be completely stabilized and will be in such a way that you can have the desires of your heart, that whatever you say, it'll happen unto you. But you have to remember, first of all, that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. Or it is the determining factor, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, because his believing is the result of his thinking. So then, I said those little things, by the way, here, to remind you that when you come to church, that's why you sing. That's why you praise God, is to eliminate that shadow or that gloomy feeling or that which is hovering over you, to get you out of that rim of twilight, in that the light has been turned on in someone's soul in the church. And the minister comes to turn on the light. And then the light, as to understanding, begins to come forth, as to the word of God saying, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may be able to, with all saints, to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depths and the height. As the Bible speaks of the same light, as to understanding having shined in darkness, that is to say, among intellectual ignorance, and the intellectual ignorance, or the darkness that is, comprehended it not. But to as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on his name. So then you're able to comprehend this light. But the Bible says, as to the world, even the religious world, it says, and they shall not see when good cometh. They shall not see when the light comes. For Satan, Lucifer, even the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they should not see. That is, they cannot comprehend this light. But you that are saints of God, is given to you to do this, because you are children of another world. And being children of another world, you must have another mind. And to have another mind will eventually bring you another body. As to an eternal world, an eternal mind, a celestial mind, as to a celestial body and a celestial world, as to a heavenly, a celestial regime of all things that your heart could wish for. It is given to you in Christ Jesus. All things are yours, whether in heaven or in earth. Ye belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And this wonderful treasure, as to heavenly treasure within earthen vessels, is hid within these words. These words are intellectual indoctrinations, as to a printed page, which is referred to as darkness, as to a letter that killeth. But God, who is the Spirit, veils himself in the darkness, and as to the splitting of the atom to get down to the nucleus so that the power can be revealed, so are these words as to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the rent veil, the separation from the body, and as to the body and spirit. Then comes forth the kingdom of God is within him or within you, as to what has been placed in your heart, as to this word, and the word of God is the power of God. Unto salvation, of course, salvation is deliverance. It's unto healing, his word, always his word. Now, I'd like to read just a little bit more here, and I don't know what we'll say tonight, because like I said, my heart is always filled up with so many things that as we have, and just now, saying these few things, this took a good little while to say these few things, and by now, the sermon should be half over or whatever. And it took that long just to collect your thoughts. In chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, if you've got your Bibles, it says here, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," of course Lucifer, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." What does the Bible say in there, taken into captivity at his will? "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And of course, now we're partakers of the divine nature of Jesus. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." All that is to say, what God wanted us to be, he made Jesus to be that, and then accredited to us. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off unto them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the head, chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly frames together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." All right, I want to say again, as I have said before, I'm always reluctant to get started more than ever on Sunday morning. I like to preach because it seems like people are a little more rested. They're not tired. Their minds are free. They haven't cluttered it up with the things of the day. There's not that much resistance. And the Spirit of God, being dove-like, can just talk to them. But when we come to this, it is such a touchy situation because we don't have time to say anything. And as now, if I get into something now, it's almost time to stop before I get started. And this, of course, is grievous to the Spirit and is grievous to me. And yet, I can't fall out with you and you can't fall out with me. And so it's very difficult to be able to help you in the way that I would like to help you. But as he says here in this first chapter, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. When he says, for having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, he is saying that he hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, when we say middle wall of partition between us, of course we understand that the middle wall of partition is broken down between Jew and Gentile. It's broken down between German and Japanese, between American and foreigners. It is also broken down between male and female, for in God, in Christ, there's neither woman nor man. And so then it is broken down. And then when we start talking about these things being broken down, then we hurriedly go over to Calvary, where we find the cross. And when we come to the cross, then we know that this is, as to the way it is expressed, as to the bridge over. It is the cross, or the crossing, or it is where my flesh crosses my spirit, and the determining factor is as to which one will win out as the body and the soul in the warfare. And it is the crossing from earth to heaven as to bridge over to that great wonderful place, and that from earth over to heaven it crosses the place of Satan's domains. And as it was in the days of Daniel, when Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days, holding on to God, and when the angel was given the charge to go down to Daniel to give him skill as to the understanding of that which was to be in the latter times, and that we're seeking to know what would befall his people, and that the time was just about up as to the 70 years down in Babylon. Here, as the angels of heaven came down, dispatched to go to Daniel, all of a sudden, crossing this domain, which Jesus had not as of yet broke through as to the manifesto, even though it was before the world ever was, in the foreknowledge of God, yet had not been made manifest unto mankind, in that Jesus had never been born into the world. But when those angels started down, the angels of Lucifer intercepted and began to make war. And as they began to make war, then they couldn't break through. They could not break through as with the message through the barricade of this angelic force of demon powers, as to fallen angels, rulers of darkness, who were there at the second level reflecting the light as a reflector, such as the moon reflecting the sun down to the earth. We spoke a little bit to some of the brethren about that today. See, and in this realm, this power was so great that the angels could not get through. And so then they had to return to get reinforcement, that they might come and by the means of this reinforcement break through that to get down to Daniel. Daniel never give up. See, this is where we make a great mistake, folks. Just exhorting you like children tonight. This is where we make our great mistake. We ask God for something, and when it doesn't happen, we just quit. See, we don't stay there. We don't do like Daniel did. We don't fast. We don't get down and just pray and pray and stay there. See, we say, well, it wasn't the will of God, or God just didn't see fit to give it to me, or I just don't believe. I just ain't good enough. And we start listening to all this condemnation, all of this reasoning, all of this oppression. And in a little while, the devil has defeated us. But if we could remember, number one, that our righteousness is of God, and there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to you. You are in Christ Jesus, and it doesn't matter what the devil says to your mind. It doesn't matter how much he oppresses you. It doesn't matter what kind of thoughts he presents to you as to derange you here. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I know when we say that, a lot of times ministers take the outlook, you know, now folks, this means if you will live perfect before God and don't walk in the flesh, then you'll be all right. And that is true. But to be able to interpret, to be able to understand, to be able to know the revelation, they don't go far enough to say anything about it because they don't know anything about it. They feel like it's a contest as to your strength and your ability to prevail against Lucifer. See, and you've got to really dig in and really dig in. But folks, that isn't the way it is at all. See, my battle is not my battle. Whereas the Bible said, the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, the battle is the Lord's. He won my battle at Calvary. This is my defense, even the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith in Him. Or that is to say, my confidence in His faith by which I am sanctified. All right, so then, when we think of this, we have to remember that we do not walk in the flesh. What does He mean to them that walk not after the flesh? Folks, there's no way I could walk after the flesh. There's no way you could walk after the flesh. Somebody says this to your do's and don'ts. Don't walk after the flesh. Hold on now, and everything's going to be fine. You know, but if you don't hold on, you know you're gone. You backslid. Well, what does the Bible mean when it says, I have healed your backsliding? What does the Bible mean when it says, woe unto the backslider, for I'm married unto you? If my wife should leave home, wouldn't I still be married unto her? And that the Bible said, and the wife is bound by the laws of the husband so long as he liveth. Does it make any difference that she went to town? Isn't she still my wife? You understand what I'm saying? If I am married unto her, then God is married unto us. There is no such thing as backsliding with God, even though we use that term, because we are at our wit's end as to know how to give a vocabulary expression as to your weakness as going and coming. But folks, there's no such thing as backsliding in God. God done away with that at Calvary. You are married unto Him. You belong to Him. You cannot come to God and be born again and backslide or fall away and lose out with God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I know a lot of good Christians that lost out with God. You've never known a Christian that ever lost out with God. Folks, that would break the Scriptures. And the Bible said the Scriptures cannot be broken. What does the Scripture say? And Jesus said, Father, I have kept every one that you've given me and haven't lost to one of them except the son of perdition. And he was a devil from the beginning. I have not lost a one of them, and I will raise them all up in the last day. For we are the predestinated of God. We are the predestinated of God. As I said last night, we have to understand that when I am born into the world or you're born into the world, that we cannot do anything except what we are predestinated to do. See, whatever we are predestinated to do, that's what we will do. We are predestinated. So that means that predetermined as to our place of destiny. As to my destiny, it is predetermined before I'm ever born into the world. I am predestinated. It was said of Judas, before he was ever born into the world, let another his bishopric take. He could do nothing except what he was predestinated to do. And the prophet said, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, God called me to be a prophet. He can do nothing but that. As it was as to the king, speaking of Cyrus, and one shall come forth, and he shall become a king, and he shall penetrate the walls of Babylon. Never been penetrated, but he shall overthrow Babylon, and he did. And see, as to the predestination, like the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Whereas somebody would say, well, that means, Brother Pine, that we can't repent over these things. It means that you cannot get them through repentance. You do not get salvation through repentance. When the Bible said, lest you repent, you shall all in like manner perish. But you don't get salvation through repentance. No one's ever got salvation through repentance. You get salvation through the predestination of God as being the elect of God by foreknowledge of God as to what God foreknew
of you before you was ever born in the world. And he slew the Lamb of God in the mind of God, wrote your names down in the Lamb's book of life. And then when you came into the world, sent the minister to severally divide, to take the wheat from the tares, to gather the wheat into the garners, to bind up the bundles of the tares, and then to burn them in the end time. God has never sown any tares. The parable was when Jesus gave it, and the man sowed the good seed in the field. But while he slept, the enemy came, and the enemy sowed the tares, as to the children of the serpent seed, as the children of the devil. And Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and his will ye will do. And so then, it was as to the parabolic speech that Jesus gave unto them, that when he awoke, the servants cried out, Didn't you plant good seed in your field? He said, I did. Said, from whence then cometh the tares? He said, an enemy has done this while I slept. An enemy has done this. They said, then shall we pluck them up? He said, no. If you do, then you'll get the wheat. He said, just leave them alone. Let them grow together, the rain upon the just and the unjust. At the end time is the harvest. I'll cut it all down. Then we'll sever, and then we'll divide, and then we'll bind as into bundles, cast into the fire, and gather the wheat into the garners. So then that means that whatever I am predestinated to be when I come into the world, that's what I will be. That's what I will do every day is my foreknowledge predestination. I have no choice in the matter whatsoever. When I'm born into the world, it's already predetermined. But this is the thing that we have to remember. As to a sovereignty of rights, we do have it through our lifetime. Though I will do exactly what he predestinated me to do, I can't do anything else. But the thing is, if it is a predestination or determined destiny, as to what he foreknew of me, in that all of the works of God are known in him from the beginning, if he foreknew me, as to looking down through the telescope of time and seeing me born into the world and seeing me as a sovereignty every day of my life, then he predestinated me according to what he saw in my heart is to desire and hunger and thirst, and he let me live my life in his mind before I was ever born into the world and to the full extent right down to the last day. If I dropped away today, then he saw it. And if I come back tomorrow, he saw it. And if I dropped away the next day as to a good man falling seven times and getting back up, then he saw it. If I dropped away and never come back, he saw it. If I stayed with him, he saw it. And so then it was wrote down as within the mind of Christ as to this way of life. So when I come into the world, I cannot do anything except what he saw in his foreknowledge as to my predestination. But the only thing is, what I am doing was what he foresaw of my own sovereignty as I lived in the world and I did my own thing, and God wrote it down accordingly before I was ever born into the world. So I'm only following my sovereignty of my own desire and way of life. And when I stand before God, I will have chosen that way of my own self and be punished according to my own wrongs, that I have done during my lifetime, to be judged by my works, whether good or bad. And the man shall be rewarded according to his works, that is to say, good or bad works, not as to the amount of works. And yes, there is the determining as to how much you do. All right, so then Christians are Christians by predestination. They are Christians by foreknowledge. Even though it is a choice as to following after God, yet God, knowing Lucifer being the god of this world, that we could not stand against the wiles of the devil. And so then he personified himself in a human body, come down into the world, wrought salvation, gave the blood atonement for the elect and the predestinated. And to be able to do this, he had to take away the sins of the world, because the body is unredeemed and remains unredeemed as to the change, as to the day of the change, which is called the redemption of the body. Be able to provide for us, he changed us in the spirit. He wrought this thing in the spirit because the flesh had already defiled itself as to doing the things that was wrong. But he didn't charge that against us. So we see that the body today is under grace. It's under the illumination. It is under this, not because God cares for the world out there. He's angry with the wicked every day. He said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And he said, their offerings are abomination in my sight. And he said, their prayers are abomination in my sight. I hear people so often, they say, God hears my prayers. I don't live right. I don't serve God. They do whatever they want to. Said, but God hears my prayer. That's where you're wrong. The Bible says, and the scriptures can't be broken, it says, and we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. There ain't no need of a sinner praying a prayer to God. God is going to listen at it. So then, who does God listen to? He listens to one kind of people, and that is the predestinated of God that has been made perfect in God by the foreknowledge as to the Lamb having been slain and the blood having been applied, and they that hear his voice are his children. They know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. How can they be misled when they will not follow a stranger? So then, we are the predestinated of God, predetermined before we ever born into the world as to who we are and what we are. So we know then that God doesn't care for sinners. That is out yonder those that are wicked. Only for those that are counted for as sinners, who are the elect and predestinated of God, that God will bring out from among them. And the grace that he has given to them is not for their benefit. It is for our benefit. It is for our benefit. No judge in his right mind would sit on the seat of judgment and look out here and see hundreds and thousands and millions of murderers and fornicators, killers, all these kind of things, and say, I give you grace. Grace for what? So they can go murder somebody else. Grace, when does the law do that? If you murder one person, the law is after you. There is no grace to those people in those kind of things. The grace is that the love of God is seen through this to them, though he's angry with them every day and will pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth, saying, beware you that forget God, lest I turn you into hell. All nations that forget me, I will turn you into hell and I'll tear you into pieces. See, but the grace is for you, because inwardly you belong to God. You're born of the Holy Spirit. That is your power of overcoming. And the Holy Spirit on the inside is sealed unto the day of the change of the body. And the body profiteth nothing. God killed it at Calvary, because it has to do with the beast side of it. So then there is nothing of you that God sees at any time that's sinful. He never sees one mistake in your life. He never sees one error in your life. You are completely without fault before God. So then you are completely without fault before God. See, you are completely without fault before God, because inwardly you are born of the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and nothing can penetrate that seal, nothing can change that seal, as the signet of the King of the Old Testament, once it was stamped as an epistle, we that are known and read of all men, nothing dare mess with that. So then we are sealed inwardly, and the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Never, never. See, he comes after church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Satan never touches you, and all of this accusation of mine, all of this problem of oppression, this has nothing to do with your justification, your salvation. God is perfected or made perfect forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. I know there's a daily sanctification, as the putting away the filth of the flesh has to be a power of utilization for Christ. Have nothing to do with your salvation at all. All right, so then we are a perfect people. Well, as I know, folks say, well, there's no perfect one, but the Bible said Job was a perfect man. Mark the perfect man among you. Every man that be perfect shall be as his master, and God is perfected forever, and on and on and on. So then we see that the argument of the mind and the corruption of the mind that's always trying to figure things out and present it, that they don't know what they're saying. They're blinded. They don't understand. They strain at a gnat. Jesus said, blind guides, just strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. They promise others liberty when they themselves are the corruption, are the servants of corruption. As to that, of that what a man is overcome by, he is brought in bondage to, and so he is the subject of that which ever controls him. So I'm saying that we who are born again have passed from death unto life. We shall never come into condemnation. How then can I do anything but walk in the Spirit? Someone would say, but Brother Pike, if you walk in the flesh, then that means that you are condemned. That's true. But how can you walk in the flesh when you're born of God? And the Bible said that he that is born of God is not even in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh. I've chosen you out of the world. Your angelic being went back to God at the death of your body by Calvary to reckon yourself to be dead there. Back to God who gave it. You're not in the flesh. You're not even in the world. Because if you're not in the flesh, you couldn't be in the world. When a man's body dies, is he then in the world? Don't they put the body in the ground and the spirit goes back to God who gave it to reckon yourself to be dead? Not as some kind of typical sort of thing, but as we say, the water is a grave. And you're dead and buried by the body of the Lord Jesus. And the blood that is on the seat of atonement is that illumination as it was over Adam and Eve as to the grace of this light for your body's sake. That when God looks at you, he doesn't see the bastard child image of that which he smote at Calvary. But he sees his lovely son's body, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, whose body ye are, as to members in particular. And he sees you by this illumination of this grace that is given through the dispensation of our time, that we might be illuminated in the body to have no faults, because of the Spirit we're already sealed as to the Spirit to have no faults. And because of this, this illumination as to the light of the world, as to this grace, reaches even unto them that are without. And this is how Revelation as to 12, the 12th chapter, this is how Lucifer got into the second heaven. Because that illumination is a second heaven. It's God's presence with his people. And the devil living in those human bodies out there find themselves in this age of healing and in this age of all of these things that the flesh goes after, and this thing of living it up, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Where the Bible said when the church goes out, the light goes out, and they'll find themselves in a total intellectual darkness, not even enough knowledge and understanding and sense, as we say in the world, to even perfect a bottle of medicine. Doesn't matter if they're doctors, physicians, professors, they won't have any understanding, not even so much as to make an aspirin to where it will stop the pain. They'll be filled as with darkness, the kingdom of the beast, as to people that are not children of God or beasts. Their kingdom will be filled with darkness. They will gnaw their tongues for pain. And they will even beg for death. And death will not be a power of liberation to take them out of their torment. They won't even be able to die during that period of time. So then, where does this wonderful life come from? Do I get salvation by repentance? No. Why do I repent? I repent because when I realize that I've been contrary to my heavenly Father, then I am a son. I become grieved and I repent. At the same time, somebody else might be sitting with me in this light as to have the wonderful rain upon that terror, and there might be, as to the terror, bowing its head. There might be a repentance out of somebody, as it was with Esau. He sought repentance with tears. Found no place of repentance because the birthright had already been given to Jacob. So then, as I said last night, why was it given to Jacob? Because at the birth, as to the opening of the matrix, the hand came forth and the little ribbon was tied on it. And then when the hand disappeared, then Esau was born. But it was Jacob's hand as to the breach. And when the time came, then the birthright belonged to Jacob. He did not steal it. It belonged to him. And so then, as to Esau being the firstborn, he was supposed to get the right to all the inheritance as to rule over his father's house with the wealth. But Jacob, the mother, knowing what had happened, because God had talked to her about those children as to the wrestling in the womb, and that the elder would serve the younger. What is it today? Those that are in the first birth and to follow the educational system of the world and to follow the deities of life as to those things as dignitaries out there in the world, those that are following after the flesh, they are the firstborn because your body is the firstborn. God has condemned it. It's took on the bastard child image, the beast image through the fall in the garden. The beast is mine, disobedience to God, unbelievers. And so then Satan, as working in the beast, is their God, and they are the terrors that he's brought into the world. God didn't put them in the world, for as through the weakness of the woman, she gives birth to both. But as to the man, he doesn't give birth to anything. He is as of a life, and that without transgression, and his life as from his loins is that of life, as unto life and hers as unto death. So then it is seen as to the world, the children of the world, as to the woman and the children of heaven, as to those that are of God. When Jesus said, and I come from heaven, I go back to heaven, ye are of the world, and to the dust ye shall go. Adam, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt go. But the great illumination of that Christ image did not go to the dust, it just withdrew and came back to receive the body of the righteous at Calvary to illuminate them, to change them into that glorified image in which they were made in the garden. That image that had been lost had now come back to them of what image we are as to the inward man, and though it does not yet appear what we shall be at the sounding of the great trump, that is to say, the last trump and the change in Thessalonians in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it'll be made manifest as to this inward glory, as to this glory, heavenly treasure, this glory that is within us that is not to be compared with the beggarly elements of this world. All right, so then we see that all of these gifts, they are without repentance. You cannot get a calling to be a preacher by going to college are repenting and deciding that you want to preach. There is no such thing. You cannot be a Christian by deciding that you want to be a Christian. There is no such thing. Paul preached to them, and the Bible said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, as by the foreknowledge of God they believed, and the rest of them were blinded. So then, you get the gifts of eternal life. You get the callings of God by foreknowledge as to what God had determined as what he had predestinated you unto. See, and in this we find that the callings and gifts of God are without repentance. And in this we find that though Esau repented, he did not get the birthright, because before the world ever was, by foreknowledge God had determined that the blood would be an application with the lamb slain in his mind from the foundation of the world in the behalf of Jacob. And he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Then do we say there is unrighteousness with God? God, how can you say you love Jacob and you hate Esau? Doesn't that mean that Esau don't have a chance and Jacob has all the favoritism with God? And I say, nay, Lord, but Paul said, how can you, the thing that is made, say nay to God? If God wants to make one vessel to honor, another unto dishonor, what can you do about it? So you can't do anything about it. So what if God was willing to take those vessels as Esau that was fitted unto destruction and subject them to suffering as over a long-term period? What could you do about it? And what if he's willing to take that as Jacob as to that which was blessed, and put that out there and give it blessings down through the years? What could you do about it? But is there then unrighteousness with God? Of course not. How then did the thing come about that Jacob I love and Esau have I hated? He foresaw in his foreknowledge, as he said to them that come, I never knew you. As in his foreknowledge, when he looked down, he saw that Esau would be contrary to everything that God loved and stood for. So he did not write his name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. As Paul said, greet my women workers or men workers or these that are whose names are already now written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And beware lest God blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And take a while to explain that. But anyway, we see here That there is a life that is allowed for that people actually can come into and still not be the predestinated. But anyway, not getting into that tonight, going on a little further here. So then we understand that God foresaw Jacob and saw that Jacob would have the heart that would be like David of old, a man after God's own heart, to want to do God's will, and as the vow was at Bethel, to give his heart and his substance to God, to follow God. So God, foreseeing the different paths of life that they would take, he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And this is why that God gave Jacob the birthright, and to say that it is not the first man that is born into the world to be saved, as to the natural man who is contrary to God, and the carnal mind being contrary to God, not subject to the laws of God, neither in his deeds can be. But that which is the spiritual man, which is the second birth, saying that the first birth shall serve the second birth, or the elder shall serve the younger. And so then, before the world ever was, it was given as to Jacob, as in the blood, as to the life being in the blood. And then we see that in this is why that the Jews as of today are blinded. I said this before, blinded in part. Why? Because we see here God having abolished within his flesh the keeping of commandments and ordinances, taking them out of the way, nailing them to the cross. We are not under the constraint of those things that they could not keep. Paul saying, as in that day, and the others saying, not to laden the Gentiles with these, because even the Jews could not keep these things. But Jesus, who kept every jot and tittle, accredited that as to righteousness unto us, as to the righteousness of the law, and we are as Christ, and in God we are his workmanship unto perfection, unto good works. And what Christ Jesus was in the sight of God and is in the sight of God, so am I today. As he is, so am I, complete in him. As to what he wrought in my behalf, he is my righteousness, and when he, my life, shall appear, I shall appear in glory with him. For I believe that in everyone that hath this hope within himself, as Christ Jesus, the hope of that glory, and that he alone was made heir to that glory, as the promise not unto many, but as of one, even as unto thy seed, that is to say Abraham, then that means that I will appear with him, and his life, as to my life, being one life, and that in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that the life is in the blood, which means my blood is no more as the red dragon, as that which is of the flesh, or that blood that it took sin as to death, to the life into it from the first man Adam. So then the second man Adam came with that new blood stream, that new blood cell, with that new undefiled life, and by the washing of changing of generation. That is to baptize as to the Spirit, or being baptized into the body by the Spirit. Or that is to say, as to have the natural man buried in water baptism, and they that have been baptized into Christ Jesus as into his name have put on his identity, put on that body, and they're no more the body that there was, but their dead body, as to that body that was smitten at Calvary, the bastard child image, is now buried, gone out of the sight of God, and the resurrected Christ that was raised again for our justification is alive today of who you and I are. Then we are born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And that is to say, we're on this side of the Jordan as to death of Calvary, even as the symbolic sense showed it with Moses and Joshua crossing over the Jordan. So Moses not going and Joshua going. So we see then that the veil has been rent in twain. And as to the hind part that Moses saw was from Calvary back, and he could not see beyond the veil, and because he wrote as to these things, it was revealed to him. We have a book called Beginning or Genesis, which tells of the garden where there was no history of this, and it comes from God through Moses. And then on this side of the veil, as to say Calvary, that is on the veil, on this side of the veil of intellectual reasoning, which was the death veil that fell over the mind of Eve, that is to say the weakness of the flesh as to the intellectual tree of knowledge. So then in this, we're on this side of the veil, and we are seeing face to face. And as we explained to some of the brethren today, they said to Moses, you talk to God, for we know that no man can see God's face and live. So Moses saw the hind part. And then when they saw the illumination of Moses' face, he had to put a veil over his face because they could not look at it, thus signifying the body as to the envelopment of the Shekinah glory of God, whereas that veil was to be rent, and then that glory was to shine as to the light of the world. And you are that light, and you are that glory, you are that body, as to members in particular, and that means that you are heir to that glory, and the glory of that light is what is filling the world today. And I say this sometimes to kind of express it the way you can understand. As it was in the days of Noah, 8 people were saved, and then there was a crossing. And then we went, go on down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and 4 people are saved. It's in halves, and there is a crossing. And then we come all the way down to the Jordan, and 2 people are saved, as Caleb and Joshua, because there is a crossing. And then we come all the way over to Calvary, and there is 1 person that is saved, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is a crossing. That is to say, and the promise as unto seeds of one, not as unto many. And in Isaac shall the seed be called. So then today there is only one that's heir to the glory. There is only one that was found justified in the sight of God. There was only one that was found righteous out of all humanity. And today we have access to that glory as a oneness with Jesus Christ. If we be his body, if we be his bone, if we be his flesh, then if we be his spirit, if we be that royal blood, then we have access to the glory of God in that we are the promised seed as to members in particular of that one body. Jesus Christ being the head, that is of the church. And we the church as to the body. All right, so then hurrying and running and rushing and pushing and shoving to just to say a few things in a compact manner that there's no way to express it. But anyway, these things, as I say, not having any means of vocabulary expression, the Holy Spirit has to say these things, and that in a way to where you can understand. So seeing these things, then the veil is rent in twain. The veil is rent in twain. Moses, as to the Jews, they look upon the hinder part. We, as through, not a glass darkly, as to the eyes of understanding, but ours is to being enlightened, not as to those that are darkened. But we are seeing face to face as to the glory of this illumination that is released. This wonderful glory of God. And as I say, we have the glory of God. So a lot of times I say this over so that you'll remember. Peter said, you know these things, but I try to bring it to your remembrance as long as I'm in this tabernacle. That it is commonly said, and his glory he will not give to another. And that's scripture. But on the other hand, I am not another. Neither are you another. You are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And God has given his glory to you and to me. In that Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was, even the glory of God. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? All right, so we can see the light of the world, even the glory of that great city. And the Bible said, as her light bride prepared for the husband, even lively stones that make up that holy city, even the foundation of the apostles, the city Abraham searched for, whose builder and maker is God, the city with foundations. And the Bible said her light was most precious, even like a jasper stone. That is to say, the wonderful, wonderful city of God, ye being stones, built up as a lively stone into a habitation for God, even to the lovely temple, him being as to the pyramid type, the chief cornerstone. So then his glory as to this light, most precious, is the glory of God, which glory he appeared in as he stood on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. Let's stand together because there's so much to be said and so little time to say it in, and so very difficult to say it in that, as the Bible said, the people are dull of hearing. Jesus said, many things to be said unto you, but ye are dull of hearing. He said to the Israelites in his day, having ears you hear not, having eyes ye see not. which being the prophet likened to Moses, he was repeating what Moses had said after 40 years. For 40 years you've wandered in the wilderness, your ears have never come open, and your eyes have never come open. In your hearts you've never perceived. So here he is as Moses again, as to the prophet likened to, saying, it shall come to pass that God shall raise up a prophet like unto myself. Moses said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet, I will require of him, or he shall be cut off from among the people. And here that prophet is, and he's saying to that same Israel, having ears, as Moses said, you hear not. Your ears have never come open. And having eyes, you see not. Your eyes have never come open. Neither have you perceived in your heart. Thus the veil remaineth over the face of those people, even as until today, till the days of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And then, as we said, as to the 483 and the 7, those things as to the heavenly perspective, and then the closing of the door, as to the bowels of compassion from the church, the age of the Gentile gone, the light gone, and then you'll find out that this glorious light was not for those outside. This glorious healing, this wonderful heaven, this great mighty heaven that God has given unto us is not for them that are without, that God is angry with them every day. And it's only given that your body might be precious in his sight, that he may find no fault with it, while your spirit is also precious in his sight, having been perfected forever. And the body is redeemed. You just haven't whipped the redemption, because it is the purchased possession in that which the dispute is over. All right, let's sing together, can we? Oh, there's room at the cross for you.
Can you sing it with me?
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still at the cross for you. Sing that with me now. For at the cross, where we first saw the light and the fruit of the heart fall away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all of the day. Sing it one more time. For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart roll away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Can you say that word? For it's gone, oh, the death triumph is gone, sin is and he lives forevermore. Sing that word. For it's gone, and the stone is rolled back gone. I saw the tomb
is empty,
gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, oh, for death triumph is gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. Sing it one more time, baby. For it's gone, I saw the stone, it's rolled back gone, I saw the tomb
Mississippi gone, to sit at my father's side.
Some of you have been there. You've seen the stone rolled away, and you've seen the tomb emptied.
Death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore.
Give me another key, Frank.
Jesus gave her water, and it wasn't that from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went off away a-singing, and she came back to bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away a-singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For water, and it was a, can you sing that with me? Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. Went away singing, and she came back to bring others to the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Jesus poured in the oil and wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding, dying on the Jericho road. Holding,
can you sing that with me?
And the wine. Jesus poured in.
Can't you rejoice in the Lord? If your sins are gone, if you're born of God and you cannot sin, if there is no condemnation to you because you are not in the flesh but in Christ Jesus. If you are they that dwell in heaven, he said, rejoice forevermore. Not of this world, I've chosen you out of this world, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of all things. And that's why the Bible said, serving the Lord is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Folks, when you serve God, that's the way you think. For God is the Word, and when you believe the Word, then you're serving God. And when you believe the Word, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, because you don't have any condemnation. And if the devil comes over you, the Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth in that he stumbleth, and the devil accuseth him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knoweth all things. He knows we're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah. You ought to feel free. The Son has made you free. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the songwriter said? He said, it's the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first of all, and that's enough for me. Let's sing that. Give me another cake.
I claim Jesus first of all, and he will answer me when I call. For I know that I'm his child. He set me free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
Sing that with me.
Though we claim Jesus first of all, He will answer me when I call. For I know that I'm a child that He set free. I am God's own child of birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that. Sing that with me, can you? We claim Jesus first of all, for God's going to answer us when we call. For we're the children God set free. We are God's own child of birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus, can you sing what's more than me? I claim Jesus first of all, God's going to answer me when I call. For I know, let's give him a wave offering. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first in that, one more time together. I claim Jesus first of all, God's going to answer me when I call. For I know that I am the child that He said. Don't you feel that freedom? I am God's own child by birth, highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first. Sing it one more time, and I want you to think about it now. We claim Jesus first of all, God's going to answer us. Think of it now. Know that, don't you feel that freedom? Freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from condemnation. Don't that make you have joy unspeakable and full of glory? If you are a believer, you believe that. Having passed from death unto life shall never come into condemnation. I claim Jesus, Bible said, and no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. And you don't have to fear. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For the Bible said nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Having loved you so much, gave you the greatest thing that heaven could afford. Nothing can separate you from that love. I claim Jesus first of all. He's going to answer me when I call. For I know that I'm the child that God set free. Why don't we all just come to the altar? I am God's child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first in that. One more time while they're coming. So I claim Jesus first of all. God's going to answer me when I call. For I know that I'm the child that God set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that's enough for me. Let's give him a hand, folks. Somebody say praise the Lord. Don't you love the Lord? How wonderful. How wonderful it is to be a child of God. The holy hills of heaven call me from mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given for the hills of home. Keep calling me. This house of flesh is but a prison and bars of bone. They house my soul, but the doors of clay gonna burst wide open when the angels come to set me free. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle. When the hills of home start calling me, I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle. When the hills of home start calling me, I see loved ones over yonder. Their tears are gone and hearts are free. And from the throne my Savior beckons, and the hills of home, they're calling me. This house of flesh is but a prison and bars of bones. They hold my soul, but the doors of clay hold the verse wide open. When the angels come to set me free, I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle. When the hills of home start calling me, I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle. When the hills of home start calling. Let's sing this little chorus we sang so much, Brother Taylor. Do you love the Lord? Do you feel free? The Bible said wherever the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. I feel the wonderful freedom of God, don't you? And I will praise Him. Let us give them glory, all ye. For His blood has washed away every stain. Once again, don't you like the idea of living forever? Let us give. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if I can just make it, if I can just hold on, maybe when I get there, He'll see fit to give me eternal life. Brethren, sisters in Christ, let me tell you, there won't be any days like that. Eternal life is given right here. Sins are remitted right here. And judgment is the beginning of the house of the Lord. If you want eternal life, to pass from death unto life, now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. That whosoever will come, calling on the name of the Lord, it shall come to pass that they shall be saved. We'll praise Him. Praise. Do you feel like you passed from death unto life? Do you feel like you have eternal life? The gift of God is eternal life. And God gives eternal life as to the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. If you obeyed Him, as to repent and call on His name, did God foresee you? As to what route of life are you taking? Are ye the elect? Are you ordained unto condemnation as ungodly men to turn the great grace of God and lasciviousness, that is to take advantage of it while there is grace, as to do your own thing? Are you they, Paul spoke of, as those that were before of old, ordained unto eternal life that you might believe? It's a sovereignty as of now.
Because though God foresaw it as to the end of your life, yet you've not lived the end of your life, which means in His mind, it is still going to see what the ultimatum of your life will be as to the grand finale.
I will praise Him.
Praise Him with me, can you? I'm going to ask Brother Gary Joner to come up and dismiss us, if he will. The Bible said, search yourselves, see if you be in the faith. Even the faith that cometh by the hearing of the word, not as the wise fables as of the flesh, but as to the faith of that which cometh by the hearing of the word, even the faith of Jesus Christ by which you're sanctified. Are you in the faith tonight? Are you walking in the faith tonight? If you are, then you belong to Him. If you've never made the great commitment unto God, make it. Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that great day.